Another bulletin, also from Berlin Radio and unconfirmed, says the British-American landing operations against the western coast of Europe from the sea and from the air are stretching over the entire area between Cherbourg and Le Havre, a distance of about 60 miles. I repeat, there is no confirmation. And here's another bulletin just in. DNB, the German agency, says, this is unconfirmed, that the most important airdromes in the area of the Normandy Peninsula of France have been wiped out. Now, I presume that means wiped out by the Allies. As you may have heard on earlier broadcasts, all three German news agencies have begun broadcasting these stories that the invasion is here. But there is no Allied confirmation as yet. The first report came out shortly after midnight, and since then we've been flooded with reports from Berlin. Paris Radio, strangely enough, has not confirmed any of these reports. And now we have just been informed that we can expect, in a very few seconds, a very important broadcast from the British capital. And so now we take you to London.
Expeditionary Force.
The text of communique number one will be released to the press and radio of the United Nations in 10 seconds. Repeat, 10 seconds from now. Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France. The communique will be repeated. Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France. This ends the reading of communique number one from Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is New York, NBC Newsroom again. Men and women of the United States, this is a momentous hour in world history. This is the invasion of Hitler's Europe, the zero hour of the Second Front. The men of General Dwight Eisenhower are leaving their landing barges, fighting their way up the beaches into the fortress of Nazi Europe. They are moving in from the sea to attack the enemy under a mammoth cloud of fighter planes, under a ceiling of screaming shells from Allied warships. The first news flashes do not say, but a large proportion of this assault is believed to be in the hands of American men. They are making the attack side by side with the British Tommies who were bombed and blasted out of Europe at Dunkirk. Now, at this hour, they are bombing and blasting their way back again. This is the European front, once again being established in fire and blood, not only by the Americans and British, but by many allies in the fight against Axis aggression. This is the supreme test of Allied spirit and of Allied weapons. The world's greatest military undertaking is underway. Casualties in this mammoth operation, in the subsequent drive inland, may reach a dreadful toll. The German war machine is still powerful and is still strongly entrenched. Our invasion forces are on the offensive against Nazi troops who have been ordered to die rather than retreat. However, die or retreat they must, for this attack up the shores of Europe is being made with all the strength the Allied command can throw into battle. Eisenhower, the commander, has promised that his men will bring victory in Europe in 1944. The first aim of the Americans and the British will be to secure their beachheads, and then the capture or building of airfields so that our planes from European bases can carry on the task of blasting loose the enemy from his prepared positions farther back. That task now is assigned to our planes flying out of England right now. And you have already heard the flash that came from London. The flash, the official Allied announcement that the invasion of Western Europe has begun, that D-Day is here, that H hour has struck. Air power paved the way for this mighty assault in the West. Nazi targets have been hammered day and night in an offensive which has steadily grown in destructive violence. Thousands of planes each day have flown cross-channel up from Italy and Africa to tear up German gun emplacements which have been 4 years in the making. Airfields have been knocked out of operation, and the German Air Force, with its wings very badly clipped, has been based farther and farther inland, closer and closer to the German homeland itself. Well, let me go on a little bit more. These Allied air blows were methodically driven home to prepare the way for amphibious assault.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for a special broadcast, we take you to London, England.
Wolf. 10 seconds. Stand by. 8 seconds. 5 seconds. Stand by. 3, 2.
And the following is the order of the day issued today by General Eisenhower to each individual of the Allied Expeditionary Force. Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force. You are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940-41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeat in open battle, man to man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking. This order was distributed to assault elements after their embarkation. It was read by appropriate commanders to all other troops in the Allied Expeditionary Force. I return you now to the United States.
Broadcasters. Is everyone taking the official program starting at 47? This is McCall speaking. Yes.
You got a stopwatch. Click this. Stick it in front of me. Good morning, everybody. We have just had the first communique from General Eisenhower's headquarters on the invasion. Here is its text. Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France. And we have also had the first order of the day, the one issued by General Eisenhower, wishing Godspeed to his troops as they left the shores of Britain for the shores of northern France. He told them that they were about to embark on the great crusade. He reminded them that the eyes of the world are upon them, that the hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere in the world are with you. He warned them that the task which they confront is not easy, that the enemy will fight savagely, and he urged upon them devotion to duty, perseverance in the task, and asked the blessing of God upon the great enterprise that the liberty-loving peoples of the world have undertaken this morning. The attack is against northern France. That much we have known as a result of the German bulletins which have been pouring in upon us all morning. It is only natural that the Germans should report first, since they are the objects of our attack, since they naturally feel its force before we feel prepared to announce it to the world. But now it is official. We know that the long delay, the anxious days and weeks through which we have all passed, are over. The great adventure has begun. The final chapter in the history of the Second World War is being written. Here is what the Germans have told us thus far about the invasion. Early this morning, and I am now quoting the German bulletin, numerous landing craft and light warships were observed in the area between the mouth of the Seine and the eastern coast of Normandy. That is the northern part of France. It is north of the Channel to some extent, south of the Channel for part of the way. Remember that Gravelines, Calais, Boulogne are just about halfway between far.
5 seconds, stand by for a full broadcast.
Here is the text of a report sent to London by Herbert M. Clark for the networks of the United States. This is Herbert M. Clark in a takeoff report from an Allied expeditionary base. I don't have to explain what the takeoff is. When you hear this, you'll know that Allied forces have leaped the gap between the bases in the United Kingdom and the coast of France. We'll be there, and we'll be there to stay as you listen. As I write this, we're in an unnamed port on an unnamed coast, one of the quirks of military security. But it's a funny thing about security. A week ago in London, I was in a state of constant irritation with security censorship. It was obvious from German radio reports that the Nazis knew things we knew but couldn't say. Since then, I've been living and eating and sleeping aboard the flagship of an Allied assault force, one of the several which are going to hit the Hun where he hurts most. And I find that Jerry knows less than he said he did. Since I've been here, we've had exactly one air alarm, and that not a raid or even a determined reconnaissance. And I also find that I don't object so much to security. My loyalty and responsibility to you back home is overridden by loyalty and responsibility to the soldiers on this boat and the sailors who are carrying them to the beachhead. That objective is also, for the moment, unidentifiable, because the place we've picked for our main landing is one Jerry hadn't figured on, and I don't want to be the one to tell him that our sector is the one where his counterattack should go. The Nazis have been badly outguessed on this whole show. He's going to be surprised by the direction of the attack, and he's going to get a shock by the timing. The master race has fallen down again. I'm treating all this in the past tense as though it had already happened. Maybe that's a mistake, but it's a reflection of the overwhelming confidence of the troops involved and the confidence I've drawn from the tremendous scale of the preparations. We haven't yet moved from our anchorage, but all morning this coastal strip has been full of movement. Ladies and gentlemen, I will digress to say that the next few sentences will be semi-numerous. That script has been censored. There are ships in the task forces which are striking, British, Canadian, and American. They range from big troop carriers and supply ships down to landing craft. Other vessels, landing craft, which make most of the journey, piggyback on bigger ships, are in the fleet. Now I admit that I can't conceive of a fleet of ships myself, but I do know that's as far as I can see from the bridge of this ship. Others are dotting the water thickly, and I can see about 30 square miles of water. Well, ships, I'm told, half the force. Double it, and you'll have the hull. And they're all loaded with fighting men and fighting weapons, some of them still secret. For some hours, the vanguard of our force assigned to deal with specific coastal objectives in our sector of Nazi Europe and landing craft lumbering through a choppy sea so slowly that they must start well ahead of time to get to their assigned places at their appointed times. These ships have been moving out. I'm speaking to shore by the last available channel of communication. We'll be following those ships soon, and I hope to be back with you before long with some harder facts. This is Herbert Clark reporting from the flagship of an Allied assault invasion force for the networks of the United States. I return you now to the United States.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC newsroom in New York. An announcement has just been made by Supreme Allied Headquarters in London. It says, it is announced that General B.L. Montgomery is in command of the army group carrying out the assault, that is, the assault on France. This army group includes British, Canadian, and American forces. Many of these troops, of course, storming the first barriers on the road to Rome, to Berlin, probably are American, Yanks from the farms of the Middle West, from the plains of the cow country, and from the streets of New York, and from the Deep South. One estimate was that perhaps 70% of Eisenhower's invasion force would be American, with the British and the Canadians and the men of the other United Nations furnishing the balance. This estimate was based on the fact that Britain lacked the reserves in her home islands to send an equal number of men into the assault. Because the invasion of Europe is primarily an American invasion, it is commanded by Dwight Eisenhower of Kansas, with, as I just told you, British General Montgomery in command of the army group carrying out the actual assault. At least 4 million Americans are on the fighting fronts overseas, and a large proportion of them have been concentrated in the British Isles. In the vast movements overseas, which began a short time after Pearl Harbor, brought us into the war. Both here at home and along the coasts of England, American troops have been trained under actual battle conditions for D-Day, H-Hour, which has now actually arrived. Recently, they completed a large-scale rehearsal for invasion over there in Britain. A rehearsal during which they went ashore with naval guns thundering overhead, with aerial bombs exploding in...
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, for a special report, we take you to London.
This is the last alerting announcement. In 10 seconds, the broadcast will be made from Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force.
This is Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force. In a moment, you will hear the Supreme Commander, General Dwight D. Eisenhower. His statement will be followed by other messages to the peoples of the countries on the western coast of Europe, which are occupied by the enemy.
The Supreme Commander, Allied Expeditionary Force, General Dwight D. Eisenhower. People of Western Europe. A landing was made this morning on the coast of France by troops of the Allied Expeditionary Force. This landing is part of a concerted United Nations plan for the liberation of Europe, made in conjunction with our great Russian allies. I have this message for all of you. Although the initial assault may not have been made in your own country, the hour of your liberation is approaching. All patriots, men and women, young and old, have a part to play in the achievement of final victory. To members of resistance movements, whether led by nationals or by outside leaders, I say, follow the instructions you have received. To patriots who are not members of organized resistance groups, they'll say, continue your active resistance, but do not needlessly endanger your lives. Wait until I give you the signal to rise and strike the enemy. The day will come when I shall need your united strength. Until that day, I call on you for the hard task of discipline and restraint. Citizens of France, I am proud to have again under my command the gallant forces of France. Fighting beside their allies, they will play a worthy part in the liberation of their homeland. Because the initial landing has been made on the soil of your country, I speak to you with even greater emphasis my message to the peoples of other occupied countries in Western Europe. Follow the instructions of your leaders. A premature uprising of all Frenchmen may prevent you from being of maximum help to your country in a critical hour. Be patient. Prepare. As Supreme Commander of the Allied Expeditionary Force, there is imposed on me the duty and responsibility of taking all measures necessary to the prosecution of the war. Prompt and willing obedience to the orders that I shall issue is essential. Effective civil administration of France must be provided by Frenchmen. All persons must excel in their present duties unless otherwise instructed. Those who have made common cause with the enemy and so betrayed their country will be rewarded. When France is liberated from her oppression, you yourselves will choose your representatives and the government under which you wish to live. In the course of this campaign for the final defeat of the enemy, we may sustain further loss and damage. Tragic though they may be, they are part of the price of victory. I assure you that I shall do all in my power to mitigate your hardship. I know that I can count on your steadfastness now, no less than in the past. To the heroic deeds of Frenchmen who have continued the struggle against the Nazis and their Vichy satellites, in France and throughout the French Empire, have been an example and an inspiration to all of us. This landing is but the opening phase of the campaign in Western Europe. Great battles lie ahead. I call upon all who love freedom to stand with us now. Keep your faith staunch. Our arms are resolute. Together we shall achieve victory.
You have just heard the Supreme Commander, General Dwight D. Eisenhower.
It has just been announced that General de Gaulle has arrived in England. He will broadcast a message to the people of France later in the day. You will next hear the King of Norway, His Majesty King Haakon VII.
Landsmen, som dere siden så at vi skal fram, som har tatt sikte på frigjøring av Europas undertrykte folk, krigen fra vest, der går en ende i min fase. Denne meldingen har vi alle modtaget med dyb taknemmelighed og glæde, fordi den indebærer vidtheden om, at de allierede styrker nu har ført os et godt stykke længere frem på vejen mod sejren for friheden. I glæden over denne udvikling må ikke vores kamp gå til nogen forhastet eller uoverlagt handling, men i tiden fremover bliver det af en endnu større betydning end før og lægge fjenden alle tænkelige hindringer i vejen. Det må ske på en slik måde, der ikke ved uforsigtighed involverer sig selv eller andre. Medlemmerne af de organisationer, som samarbejder med de allierede militære autoriteter, står i særsel. De har fået sine bestemte opgaver at løse, og det vil få nye ordre. Det vil udføre dem i fuldstændighed, at når det trænger skjulelse, eller mat, eller nemlig hjælp, det er altid på. Også på den måde kan mange resulter komme til at yde en mere værdifuld indsats i frihedskampen. Jeg og min regering sender en varm hilsen til alle landsmænd, som står rank på sin post, og som opfordrer og tillidsfuldt ser frem mod stadig mere krævende opgaver. De allierede styrkes over kommanderende. Vil på den bedre tid sige fra, om hvad han venter af alle, som står under hans kommando, og gennem kringkastning eller på anden måde, det er vores folk vil blive og så i kontakt
You are listening to the voice of King Hakon of Norway.
Leve de forenede nationers sag, leve frihed. Here is a translation of King Håkon's message
to the people of Norway.
Fellow countrymen,
as a result of the great strategic plan which aims at liberating the oppressed people of Europe,
the war in the West has today entered a new phase. We have all received this news with a profound feeling of joy and satisfaction, as we realize that our forces have thereby carried us a good way further on the road to victory and liberation. Heartened by these developments, our people must not allow their enthusiasm to lead them into premature or unpremeditated acts. From now on, however, it will be of even greater importance than heretofore to hinder and impede the enemy by all subtle and covert means, but do not expose yourself or others.
This order does not apply to organized resistance groups
who are in touch with the Allied military authorities. They have been given their special orders, and they will receive further orders. These they will carry out in the knowledge that if they are in need of a hiding place, or food, or any other help, they will always find it. In this way also, many of you will be able quietly to take an effective part in the battle for freedom. I and my government warmly salute all compatriots who stand firm at their posts and look forward to ever more exacting tasks, in a spirit of self-sacrifice and confidence. The Supreme Allied Commander will at all times keep you informed about what is expected of everyone under his command. And over the radio and by other means, our people will continue to be in close contact with their constitutional authorities. We salute the forces which have now gone into battle. Our thoughts and warmest wishes go with them. We know that they will not fail us, and we promise never to fail them. Fellow countrymen, keep together and be prepared. Long live the cause of the United Nations. Long live the cause of freedom. That ends the translation of King Håkon's statement. Communique number one, issued by Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force, will now be repeated.
Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France.
You have heard the Prime Minister of the Netherlands, His Excellency Professor Hebrandi.
Mannen en vrouwen van Nederland. Nu het grote ogenblik gekomen is waarop de geallieerde strijdkrachten tot een machtige aanval zijn overgegaan vanuit het Westen, heb ik enkele zeer ernstige woorden tot u te zeggen. Ik verzoek u hiernaar met de grootst mogelijke aandacht te luisteren en mijn woorden, met afneming van alle noodzakelijke veiligheidsmaatregelen, door te geven aan de betrouwbare landgenoten die niet in de gelegenheid waren naar mij te luisteren. Landgenoten, nu de geallieerde motorslag neerkomt op Hitler's Atlantic Wall, gaat door ons allen een siddering van ontroering. Onze mannen van leger, vloot, luchtmacht en koopvaardij hebben de taak te vervullen welke aan hen door de militairen opperbevelhebber is toebedeeld. In de harten van ons allen steekt de dringende bede op God en Almachtige om hulp en bijstand in deze voor ons rechtvaardige strijd. In nauw overleg met de geallieerde opperbevelhebber geef ik u daarom de volgende orders, waaraan ik verwacht dat iedere Nederlander die van goeden willen is, zich zal houden. Mijn orders richten zich niet tot die speciale verzetsgroepen die hun eigen orders hebben ontvangen en daaraan gevolg zullen geven. Ik richt mijn instructies tot hen die niet lid zijn van die speciale verzetsgroepen. 1. Hij zal geen daden van gewelddadig openlijk verzet plegen. Het zou den vrede vijand slechts de gelegenheid bieden represailles te nemen, veel en veel bloediger dan ooit tevoren. 2. Zij die redeneren dat ze gaarne hun leven veil hebben en zich dus niet willen laten weerhouden van iedere vorm van directe hulpverlening, zij op het hart gebonden dat de represailles zich zouden uitstrekken over vele, al vele onschuldigen. Wij kennen den Duitser. En ik herhaal dus met klem, geen gewelddadig openlijk verzet. 3. Wat daarentegen wel geschieden moet, is overal waar onzichtbaar en onherkenbaar een verzet mogelijk is, moet er onverbiddelijk worden geboden. 4. Daarnaast dient hij alles na te laten wat een vijand van enig direct of indirect voordeel zou kunnen zijn. 5. Vijand zou geen enkel middel verzuimen om u te provoceren of te misleiden. Wees overal waar hij staat of staat op uw hoede. Luister alleen naar de aanwijzingen die wij van hieruit geven. 6. Zodra van u een krachtiger actie wordt verwacht, zal dit op een onmiskenbare wijze van hieruit worden duidelijk gemaakt. Nederlanders, bid met ons om de zegen. Leve het vaderland.
Here is a translation of the statement just made by the Prime Minister of the Netherlands.
Men and women of the Netherlands, now that the great moment has arrived and the Allied forces have started the mighty attack from the West, I have some very solemn words to say to you. I request you to listen with the greatest possible attention and, with due observance of all necessary security measures, to pass on my words to trustworthy compatriots who have not been in a position to listen to me. Fellow countrymen, now that the Allied sledgehammer blow is falling on Hitler's Atlantic wall, we are all thrilled with emotion. Our men of the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Merchant Navy have to fulfill the task allotted to them by the military commander-in-chief. In the hearts of all of us rises the urgent prayer to the Almighty for help and assistance in what is for us so righteous a struggle. In close deliberation with the Allied High Command, I will therefore give you the following orders, which I expect every Dutchman of goodwill to keep. These orders do not apply to those organized resistance groups who have received their orders and who will obey them. It is to those who are not members of organized resistance groups that I address these instructions. 1. You will not perpetrate any acts of violent open resistance. It would only offer the cruel enemy an opportunity to take far bloodier reprisals than ever before. Two, those who reason that they are ready to sacrifice their life and therefore do not wish to refrain from any form of direct assistance are urged to consider that the reprisals would extend to a great many innocent people. We know the Germans. And I therefore request, with emphasis, no violent open resistance. Three. This, however, must be done. Wherever invisible and unrecognizable passive resistance is possible, it must be inexorably forthcoming. Apart from this, you must refrain from any act that might be of any direct or indirect advantage to the enemy. Five. The enemy will not fail to employ any means of provoking or deceiving. Wherever you go, wherever you may be, watch your own behavior. Listen, all of you, to the instructions which we give you from here. Six. As soon as more forceful action is required of you, this will be made clear from here in unmistakable fashion. Gentlemen, pray with us. Long live the fatherland. That ends the translation of the statement made by the Prime Minister of the Netherlands.
You will next hear
the Prime Minister of Belgium,
His Excellency Monsieur Hubert Pierrot.
Mes chers compatriotes,
l'heure attendue par vous est proche. Les opérations préliminaires pour la libération de l'Europe ont commencé. Cet assaut initial est l'annonce certaine de votre délivrance. Vous allez vivre des jours difficiles, dans une attente anxieuse. C'est le moment de montrer une fois de plus les qualités de discipline et de maîtrise de vous-même dont vous avez donné tant d'exemples depuis 4 ans. La première règle à suivre sera de modérer votre impatience. La seconde, de ne pas vous laisser tromper par les excitations perfides de l'ennemi et de ne pas vous laisser engager dans des actions prématurées qui ne pourraient avoir pour résultat que de terribles représailles. Les Alliés vous sont reconnaissants de la magnifique résistance que vous avez montrée sous l'oppression allemande, et le gouvernement est convaincu que vous ferez tout ce qui est possible pour contribuer à détraquer la machine de guerre de l'ennemi. Le succès final de l'effort militaire aujourd'hui commencé dépend en grande partie de la force que vous conserverez pour le moment décisif. Vous souhaiteriez que nous vous demandions tout de suite tout l'effort dont vous êtes capable. Mais une résistance organisée, déjà en possession de ses consignes, et le sabotage clandestin sont maintenant plus utiles. À tous les patriotes, je dis, obéissez avec une discipline complète à tous les ordres qui vous seront donnés par le commandement suprême allié et par votre gouvernement. Mais soyez attentifs à discerner les fausses consignes qui pourraient être lancées par l'ennemi. Ne croyez pas les rumeurs non contrôlées. La seule façon de vérifier l'authenticité des nouvelles est de vous assurer qu'elles sont transmises par les stations de télégraphie sans fil des Alliés. Par-dessus tout, méfiez-vous des agents provocateurs. Le moment du suprême combat n'est pas encore venu. Lorsqu'il aura sonné, vous en serez avertis par le commandement allié et par votre gouvernement. L'on vous dira alors clairement ce que l'on attend de vous. utilisez cette période intermédiaire pour perfectionner vos organisations afin qu'au moment voulu, leur action soit pleinement efficace. Dans les souffrances accrues qui marqueront peut-être la dernière phase de la guerre,
while you were listening to the leaders of the refugee governments in London talking to their own people, a few hours after the start of the invasion, some important bulletins have been coming in. Let me read you several of them before we go back to London. The German news agency DNB has just said in a broadcast that Anglo-American troops were reinforced at dawn at the mouth of the River Seine in the Le Havre area. And here's another one. German radio says that fierce fighting between Nazis and Allied forces is taking place 10 miles inland from the Normandy coast. 10 miles inland. Allied progress has been rapid so far. Already, apparently, our forces have pierced Allied defenses to a depth of 10 miles. And now back to London.
This first assault is the certain signal for your deliverance. You are going to undergo difficult days in a period of anxious waiting. This is the time to show once again those qualities of discipline and self-control which for 4 years you have so often displayed. The first rule for you to follow is to moderate your impatience. The second is not to let yourselves be fooled by any of the enemy's treacherous provocations, and not to let yourselves be embroiled in any premature action which could result in terrible reprisals. The Allies are grateful to you for the magnificent resistance that you have shown under German oppression. And the government is convinced that you will do everything possible to contribute to the overthrow of the German war machine. The final success of the military undertaking which began today depends largely on the strength that you can show for the decisive moment. You naturally want us to demand of you immediately all the effort of which you are capable. But the organized resistance, which already has its orders, and clandestine sabotage are at this moment of more use. To all patriots, I say, obey with complete discipline all the orders given you by the Supreme Allied Command and by your government. But be on the alert for false orders which might be issued by the enemy. Do not believe uncontrolled rumors. The only way to check the genuineness of any news is to make sure it is sent from Allied radio stations. Above all, trust agent provocateur. The moment of supreme combat has not yet come. When it does, you will be warned of it by the Allied command and by your government. You will then be clearly told what is expected of you. Use the period that intervenes to perfect your organization so that at the desired moment, their action may be fully effective. In the increased suffering, which perhaps will mark the last phase of the war, all Belgians must, more than ever before, show their devotion to each other and use all resources still available to relieve the suffering of those most sorely tried. The watchwords we send you are courage, discipline, unity, and confidence. That ends the translation of the Belgian Prime Minister's statement.
Communique number one. Issued from Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force will now be repeated.
Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France.
This concludes the broadcast from Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force.
This is the home and overseas service of the...